Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday. Thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah! Hour number three on a Tuesday morning. Glad to have you with us, San Diego. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. And we'll have more really good Kobe reflections and remembrances. L. Duncan from SportsCenter, one of the anchors, just, told the story of when she first met Kobe and she was 8 months pregnant. It was amazing. I mean, just one of many amazing remembrances. Earlier this show, we played Tony Gwynn Jr.'s show open yesterday. As he talked about it, that was incredible, and I want to thank Tony for opening up like that just on a hard day. So we'll definitely have more, but this hour in particular, outside of Don't Do This, we'll push Real or Fake into this hour as well. We're going to focus a little bit on baseball here, Woods. Coming up at 7:35, we're going to talk to Ian Brown. He covers the Red Sox for MLB.com and get see just kind of what's going on the other side of these trade rumors with Mookie Betts.
Yeah, man.
It's one thing to hear everything out of Padres land. We heard from our 97.3 The Fan insider, A.J. Cassaville, last week. The Athletic, the UT. I mean, we're seeing different reports and rumors every day. But that's what they're hearing. And, you know, most of the sources that our guys have are Padres-related sources.
Correct.
What are the Red Sox-related sources hearing and saying?
What are the fans, you know, what are the fans saying?
Right.
You are losing a 27-year-old face of the franchise, face of the city, one of the best players in baseball, definitely top three. You know, how fans oftentimes, like, when you know the inevitable is coming, Ben, you will often just talk yourself into it. You're very good at this. You're very good at talking yourself into something. And that's okay. I do the same thing. You're like, well, it really is best for the fiscal long-term future of the Boston Red Sox for us to get rid of Mookie Betts. And you find yourself eating what they're spooning you, right? They're spoon-feeding this to you, and you're like, well, I guess it does make sense. When in reality, it makes no sense. The guy should be a Red Sox for life.
It always makes sense to trade an asset and get something for him.
But it never makes sense to trade an asset like Mookie Betts when you have more money than you know what to do with and you're John Henry. So if he's on the Marlins, fine. If he's on the Royals, fine.
You're assuming that there's an amount of money that he can't say no to from the Red Sox.
Absolutely there is.
Because I'm getting the sense that at least in Boston, they're feeling like, hey, we could offer a million or two more than other teams, and Mookie still wouldn't take it. He doesn't want to play here anymore. And if that's the case, I would understand why you're looking to trade him now. If you really do you want a guy that doesn't really want to be there, and even though you could overpay to keep him and just slam him over the head with another extra $15, $20 million and make it impossible, his agent will just be going, you're nuts if you don't take this deal. They're offering you everything. And it's like, but I don't want to play there. I want to go to the West Coast. I want to do something else. You know, I don't want to be in Boston my entire career. That's a tough spot. You really want that guy on your team who is eventually fine, I'll take all this cash and I'll stay here.
You can't let it get to this point, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't let it ever get to this point. And it's a cautionary tale for us here with Fernando Tatis Jr. You know, I mean, we don't ever want to see him anywhere else. You don't ever want to see him
running around in a friggin' Reds uniform or a Rockies uniform or whatever. So it's a cautionary tale.
You want him to feel happy and comfortable 1, in San Diego.
1,000%.
Which is why, you know, I'd say a small minority of Padres fans, but there are out there, who have been hammering Tatis Jr. on his Instagram post.
Which is just insanity to me.
You might want to rethink that behavior. I'm not going to say you're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, and you don't want to give them all the credit that he would see that and be like, man, really, the fans really think I'm a clown or whatever. Because I've seen some in the last few days where I'm like, bro, stop.
If he goes out and he's hitting 220 and, you know, is having a terrible season, and maybe you can go and say, well, maybe the offseason wasn't spent productively.
No, not even then.
Until he does something wrong.
Not even,
you know,
then.
In his career.
Get in the cage guy is the worst effing guy on Twitter, and it's not close. Here he is hanging out with his friends. I'd rather see him in the cages. You know? I mean, it's like, Ben, if I saw you dinner with your family, and I, you know, if our ratings went down, God forbid, and I'm like, hey, should be at home show prepping. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Can I offer you and our listeners what I think is a little bit of wisdom that I've gleaned over the years covering baseball? The guys who post pictures of themselves in the cage are not necessarily the ones who are spending the most time in the cage.
They're the ones who
want to
appear,
give the impression of working really hard, and then they're going off and having a bunch of fun. The guys who post pictures of themselves having a lot of fun are oftentimes the ones who don't do it that often. So it's special to them. It's unique. Hey, I want to post a picture of this. We're having a great time. But the rest of the time, you know what they're doing? They're in the gym. They're working out. They're in the cage. It's boring to them. They don't post pictures of it because they're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
They post the fun pictures when they're dressed up and they're going out on the town because that's what's unique and fun to them. When you're in the cage and that's unique and fun to you, then you're probably not spending enough time there.
I hear you 100%. I am, though. And, you know, listen, I am a big believer in perception is reality, okay? It's been beaten into my head some of the places I've worked, you know? If you're standing there talking to a buddy, you could be making phone calls. Fine, I get it. You're right. But if I'm where I need to be, don't worry about what I'm doing, all right? Don't worry about it. Worry about the guy that isn't hitting his numbers or the ratings aren't good. That's kind of the way that I roll. It's the off season. The off season is you're off of the season. You can do whatever you want. It's time to decompress. It's time to shut it down. It's time to have fun and ride jet skis with your buddies. That's when you do it. Now, I used to ride Carlos Asuaje like a horse because Carlos Asuaje was betting $1.70 and the game would end at 10:03, and by 10:10 he's tweeting from the locker room, "Hey, who wants to play Twitch with me?" I'm like, "Oh, you just took another offer and you're tweeting about playing Twitch." You can do whatever you want, but it looks bad. In this case, in the off season, it doesn't look bad. It's the off season. That's what it's there for. That's what you're supposed to do. So, back to our original point, Ben. I know you're still a little on the fence about Mookie Betts coming to San Diego. And I wonder,
especially on a one-year rental, especially given the potential price tag of prospects that the Padres might have to give up for that 1 year.
Well, and it's funny because some of the things that we've seen prospect-wise, it hasn't been that much. We've seen some deals that have included Will Myers, obviously, Josh Naylor. We've seen Cal Quantrill's name mentioned. We've seen Joey Lucchese's name mentioned. Campusano was in one. Gabriel Arias, I believe, was in another one. None of those names none of them are going to hurt, Ben, even if it is just a one-year rental. And I still feel deeply that it's a risk that you take with a guy like Mookie Betts, especially they don't have any leverage. If what you said is true and he just doesn't want to be in Boston, they don't have much leverage. They're going to have to trade him at some point, or they're going to have to let him walk for a pick at the end of the year. And they don't want to do that. They can't do that. So what's the holdup for you? It's the 1 year, obviously, it's the chance of re-signing Mookie Betts that's got you so paranoid?
Well, sure. You don't pay a giant price tag for an asset you're just renting for a short period of time.
What is a giant price tag, though? Because is Myers, Lucchese, Naylor, is that a giant price tag?
No, if that truly is the price tag, guys who may not even have a place in the Padres organization in the future, yeah, that's okay. That's a different story. If you're talking about, like, Luis Campusano is a name that's been brought up a lot And the Padres need a catcher of the future. He could be that guy cheaply for the next, you know, 6 years, you know, after he gets up to the big leagues. That could be a really steep price to pay for a one-year rental of Mookie Betts.
Is it steep, though? A catching prospect for an MVP is not steep. It's not steep. Ben, and here's the deal. Here's why you take that risk. So let's say that you and I both like the same girl, all right? We're in high school, all right? Ben and Woods, flashback to 1993. We both like the same girl, and we've heard through the grapevine, she likes you and she likes me. She's kind of torn. She gets a job at a summer camp, and I get a job at the same summer camp. You decide you're going to stay home and play golf all summer. I'm going to have 3 months with her by myself to stake my claim, to be present, to be in her face, you know, working my magic on her. Who's got the better chance of landing her at the end of the year?
You, if you really have your stuff together for those 3 months.
Yeah. Which then, I'm going to be on
sure.
my game.
You better
I'm
be, on,
be
your
on
game.
My game.
And if the Padres acquire Mookie with no guarantee that he is going to sign, well, they better be on their game next year.
100%.
In terms of showing him the best that the organization, the
By
city,
the way,
everything has to offer.
All of us better be on our game,
right. I mean,
too.
You know, the Dodgers had Manny Machado for a couple of months at the end of the season. And, you know, he never even seemed like he was interested in extending that relationship. I don't know what went on there, and maybe that was part of the plan all along. Dodgers gave up a bunch of prospects, including their fourth overall prospect, to the Orioles for a rental that didn't end up winning them a World Series. You could say that there might have been some cheating that had to do with that, but we can,
right.
You know, that's a different story that we've been talking about. Here's what worries me. And to this point, A.J. Preller, I think, has conducted himself well as a GM on the hot seat. And Rod Fowler's made it clear. Everyone's on the hot seat
sure.
right now if the Padres don't improve, including the general manager. He has made, for the most part, measured moves to try to improve the team this offseason. Nothing crazy. I don't want to see a crazy move to try to add a few wins this season for a one-year rental of Mookie Betts. Let me give you an example here, Woods. Let's say the Padres acquire Mookie Betts, give up a package of prospects, you know, 4-for-1 deal, and they end up winning 89 games this year with Mookie Betts and get the wild card. So awesome. I mean, that's a huge improvement. That's a great successful season. We had a lot of fun. They go, they play at the Cincinnati Reds in the wild card game. They won 91 games, lose a close one. In the offseason next year, Mookie Betts leaves as a free agent, signs a giant deal with the Dodgers. Padres left now without Mookie Betts, coming off an 89-win season. Are we happy? Are we excited going into 2022? Probably taking a step back from that 89-win wild card team, out the prospects that you traded for Mookie Betts.
Yeah,
where do you go from there?
But again, what I say to you is, based on what we've seen, and all we can speculate is what we've seen, okay? Quantrill, Lucchese, Naylor, Camposano, Arias. That doesn't affect us.
There
in the long,
is a price
in
that
term.
I would be willing to pay as a fan for 1 year of Mookie Betts. It's somewhere in that range. I can't imagine that it's the Red Sox couldn't do better from the Dodgers or someone else, but maybe no one else is willing to pay it. And if that's the case, and the Padres can sneak in and you know, you do a deal that everyone's going, wow, I'm surprised they were able to get him for that. Kind of like the Diamondbacks and Starling Marte yesterday. Then, yeah, you do that. And you take your chances and you try to impress the girl for the season and see if you can get him to stay.
Now, Ben, why won't you let yourself be happy?
I'm a San Diego sports fan.
Mark V just tweeted, and Ben is conditioned like many SD natives. We've suffered so much, we're afraid to dream. Let's just dream big. Just come on. Come on to the... jump on my back.
We did it. We did it in 20. Remember 2015?
No, we did it.
AJ, you know, rockstar GM.
There was no MVP.
We dreamed big. We finally did it. This is the turning of the corner.
There was nothing like a Mookie
Betts. We were left with 4 more years of rebuilding after that.
There was,
but it didn't work out.
There was nothing like a Mookie Betts in there, my friend. Nothing. Nothing at all. Not even close.
We'll talk to Ian Brown, Red Sox beat writer for MLB.com, coming up at 7:35. On the Boston end of this story. Next, though, we bring back Don't Do This. We didn't do it yesterday because of all the Kobe Bryant talk. obviously. And Woods, I have a small college offensive coordinator who put his foot in his mouth. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, and I've got Kareem Hunt in trouble again and gets off with a warning, essentially.
That is coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
That is outrageous.
On 97.3 The Fan.
And before we get to Don't Do This, also bringing back our biggest fan contest coming up in the next 30 minutes. Listen for your name to be called. Call us back within 10 minutes. We're giving away a four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld again this week. Lunar New Year celebration going on. And the big one, you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing, a Las Vegas road trip to see Aerosmith's new residency show at the Park MGM. Deuces are wild. Sign up at 973thefansd.com.
Deuces are wild.
Biggest fan. Thank you, Coach O. And speaking of college sports, I'll start my Don't Do This. You actually tweeted this out yesterday.
This was funny, man.
Someone at USA Today, I'm sure it was simply an oversight. Someone clicked something wrong on a drop-down menu, but the new AP Top 25 poll came out, and USA Today put it together, pushed it to their website. Apparently, no one noticed that the number four team in all of college basketball, right after Baylor, Gonzaga, and Kansas, the University of San Diego Toreros, with their SD logo and even their record next to their name, 8-14. It's an impressive performance for Sam Scholl's crew. In fact, I texted Athletic Director Bill McGillis with the screenshot and said, Sam's going to want a raise after this.
What did he say?
He said, strength of schedule, ?
Dude, that was funny. I go, wow, man, the Toreros, quite the jump.
It does. It is that the same old story, though.
Same
old in San Diego, story. Everywhere in the country, they have no idea who we are. What's going on here? And they can't even tell the difference between the red and black of San Diego State and the blue and white of USD.
It really
it's
is.
It's all the same. It's all the same to everyone else.
It really is.
What? You have more than one college? Wait until UCSD becomes a Division I team next year. They'll probably be in the top four, too. It's like, UCSD, SDSU, USD. I don't know. It's all the same.
Yeah, I mean, the news you didn't hear is that every other basketball team decided to just cancel the rest of their season. So by default, the Toreros now number four in the country. Congratulations again to Sam Scholl and his program. This kind of got lost in the shuffle. Well, it happened over the weekend. But to Kareem Hunt, in trouble again. And I use the term trouble loosely, but I mean, we all know Kareem's story. The video of him and the girl in the lobby of his apartment. And just a guy that got a second chance. Well, he was pulled over outside of Cleveland. Now, in his car, Benny had an open bottle of vodka and a backpack filled with marijuana. Now, he was cited for speeding. I don't know the laws in Ohio for marijuana. I'm assuming nothing major because the cop just took the bag full of weed. Now, the dash cam video came out, and it's about 5 minutes long. Now, obviously, I'm not going to play you all of the dash cam video, but here's just a taste of the conversation between this police officer and Cleveland Browns. Well, I guess now he's a free agent. Running back Kareem Hunt.
I'm not putting any handcuffs or anything.
I know.
Listen, Kareem, this is how this works, all right? I understand you're with the Browns and all that. Okay?
I understand so that. Listen, officer, I just really got a flight I got to catch.
Okay,
that's
fine. So listen to me.
Like, I got
a flight. I'm going to search the car. As long as I don't find anything in the car, listen, I'm going to give you a traffic ticket for speed and get you out of here. Okay? But you seem like there's something else going
no,
on.
No, I don't. I'm just like I'm really just trying to get there.
Okay.
I'm about to be
so
late.
Let me go do that real quick. As long as I don't find anything, I'll get you out of here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A traffic ticket's not gonna get you in trouble, man.
All right.
I mean, listen, we constantly stop athletes down here, right? Because you guys are all working in Cleveland.
Sounds
if it's
like
just a traffic
job.
Ticket, you're not gonna get in trouble for it, man.
Yeah, the cop said, listen, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. He then brought up, he goes, man.
But he didn't let him off the hook because of that, but he handled it really well, I thought.
He did, and he ended up letting him go with a ticket, but he did say, like, hey, man, don't F this up. Like, I'm going to give you a shot here, but don't mess this up. I'm a Browns fan. I think you are really, really talented. But Kareem Hunt, he admits at one point he's been fighting a lot of S lately. He should be playing in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. The police officer, like the Rocky River PD, they called the officer's actions appropriate. Brown said they're looking into the incident. It just, man, again, it's that perception thing. Like, you can't be driving around speeding with an open bottle of vodka and a sack full of weed in your car if you're Ben Higgins. You really can't be doing it if you're Kareem Hunt.
True.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely true. Yeah. Finally, here's something that you can't be doing if you're just about anyone on Earth.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
This goes to Grand Valley State, which I believe Division II school, offensive coordinator Morris Berger, who did an interview with the school newspaper. I mean, what can go wrong here? And the reporter for the school newspaper asked Berger a question. He said, I know you're a history guy. If you could have dinner with any three historical figures, living or dead, who would they be? And I'm ruling out football figures. Here was Morris's answer. This is probably not going to get a good review, but I'm going to say Adolf Hitler. It was obviously very sad, and he had bad motives, but the way he was able to lead was second to none. How he rallied a group and a following, I want to know how he did that. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he wasn't a great leader.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
No. He went on and
Don't
said,
do this.
Also, you'd have to go JFK. It's fine. His experience with the country being that he was a good president and everything. And this might sound crazy, but Christopher Columbus, the ability to go on the journey he was on, his emotion into the unknown, thinking about putting yourself into the setting of that unknown, and then to take it all in as you arrive is crazy. Well, you know, Christopher Columbus, when he arrived, he and his men just, you know, killed all the
genocide.
The natives, genocide.
He's a big fan.
Genocide, apparently.
Of genocide.
He's been suspended by Grand Valley State.
Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Don't
is
do
the
this.
Guy that I'd like to sit to. Hey, so how did you get all those? I have trouble with these kids getting them together. You know, they won't pass, whatever. I'm trying to get them out of the practice field on time. How would you handle it, Adolf? Are you out of your mind, man? Again, think it all you want. You don't say it, buddy. Come on. That is tailor-made.
It really is one of the easy ones to avoid.
100%. Yeah, Charles Manson, also another great leader. Just that way he was able to rally those people to murder everyone for him. It was really cool. Amazing. Just incredible.
And that's our Don't Do This return.
That's a Hall of Famer right there, buddy.
On a Tuesday.
That is, if we did a Mount Rushmore, buddy, that's up there. Holy cow.
Number one.
All right, we're going to go back and check out this Padres Mookie Betts trade rumor from the other side perspective. The Boston Red Sox, their beat writer, Ian Brown from MLD.
Oh, yes! It's been forever!
MLB.com's Ian Brown going to join us next time. Ben and Woods better get to the break on 97.3 The Fan. See if I've regained the power of speech here as we return back on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
A little bit of an eater.
Ted, my brother.
Brothers, yeah. Literally brothers.
I know how you feel.
Mother. Yeah.
I know how you feel. We are about to chat a little Padres-Red Sox trade rumors with Ian Brown from MLB.com. Right now, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Before we bring in Ian, I just want to read this tweet quickly from Brian, continuing our discussion on these Mookie Betts trades rumors. He said the Padres landed Kevin Brown for a one-year rental, 1998, for Derek Lee, Rafael Medina, and Steve Hoff. 98 doesn't happen without Kevin Brown. Brian's absolutely right, and that trade worked out pretty well for the Padres that year. Without Kevin Brown, they don't get to the World Series. And I said, if you think the Padres are a Mookie Betts away from a trip to the World Series, yeah, you go for a deal. You might even overpay a little bit. But in the long term, that trade, remember, the Padres didn't make the playoffs again for 8 years after that. Not that Derek Lee turned out to be a giant loss, but he was a good solid player for the Marlins for many years after that. Padres, that was not a long-term deal. That was a short-term deal. So if you think Padres are ready to go this year, yeah, you do that. I just don't know that many people would who think the Padres are any piece away, even a Mookie Betts away from going to the World Series.
Yeah, that said, you know, when Kevin Brown left in free agency, Benny, you didn't have a Mackenzie Gore and a Patino in this very, very rich and fully loaded farm system waiting. And that's what A.J. Preller has been able to do. So I get what you're saying. Christopher makes a good point. He says, and yet 20 years later, People still celebrate that season. Just let us have something nice.
All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. And joining us right now, covering the Boston Red Sox for MLB.com, Ian Brown with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Ian, it's good to have you on with Ben and Woods this morning. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. So we keep hearing these rumors, obviously, on our side of the country and possible players who could be included in a trade. But, you know, there's a lot of big dreamers on this side. What are you hearing about potential Mookie Betts trade rumors on your side of the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely real. They're seeing what he can get them in a trade. And, you know, they haven't decided for sure they're going to trade him, but they want to see what they can get. They want to see what the best offer is going to be. So I think at some point between now and spring training, you have to say, okay, yes, we're either going to trade him now or we're going to wait until maybe July to see if we're in contention, then maybe try it again. But so I think they're in the final stages of this, and it seems like the Padres are engaged. It seems like the Dodgers are engaged, which makes for an interesting kind of NL West fight for this guy. He's a special player,
yeah. But
it's complex because he's going through the last year of his contract. It's complex for the Red Sox because, you know, you're going to need to sell this to your fans too, who have already had a tough offseason here. So there's just a lot of moving parts here. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Now, Ian, how did we get to this point? How did the Red Sox let it get this far with a guy that's as special as Mookie Betts? I mean, was this an oversight? I mean, how do you not lock up a guy like this?
No. This has nothing to do with the Red Sox. The Red Sox tried very hard to lock this guy up, and Mookie Betts has maintained all along that he wanted to get to free agency to see what his ultimate worth was going to be. So I don't think you can put this on the Red Sox at all. I think this is more a case of Mookie and his representatives being determined to get the free agency and set a new bar for player salaries. And, you know, the Red Sox have come to that realization. And now the Red Sox are also in the position where they're about to go over the luxury tax for the third year in a row, which they don't want to do because of the penalties that are involved with that. So it's just kind of the perfect storm where it might make sense to get rid of this great player before he can walk for nothing but a draft pick after the season.
What, Ian, do you say to the critics who will go to the Red Sox? Okay, yeah, going over the luxury tax is wasted money. But at the same time, the Red Sox make gazillions of dollars. They've got fans across the country, merchandise. I mean, you know, big market success. They can afford to have the biggest payroll in baseball. It shouldn't be such a concern.
Yeah, it's just when you look at it, it's a collective thing, and you're going to lose draft picks. Your draft position is going to go down, and the penalties are sort of cumulative and assess you back for the long term. Look, every great team in baseball, every big market team in baseball has reset their luxury tax. The Yankees did it. The Los Angeles Dodgers did it. The Washington Nationals did it. Everybody does it. It's kind of silly not to do it because of, you know, it just sets you up for a disadvantage, not for just this coming season, but for the long haul. So it's just the way the rules are set up. It really discourages you from going over that 3 years in a row. So it's not just the financial penalties. It's just, you know, how it can sort of set you back as an organization for the short and long term. And that's why, like I said, that's why the Yankees did it, and that's why the Dodgers did it, and that's why the Washington Nationals did it.
We are talking to Ian Brown, Red Sox beat writer for MLB.com here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, we all saw what happened to the Astros. Obviously, the Red Sox were some of the fallout there with Alex Cora being dismissed. And how worried are the Red Sox fans that they're going to get, you know, banged for draft picks and things like that? Do you foresee anything else happening punishment-wise for the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of waiting to see what happens. We have heard a lot from the Red Sox, which would indicate that they don't think they're going to face much of a penalty. They keep saying on the press conference when they fired Alex Cora, they kept saying to reserve judgment. And J.D. Martinez said, you know, recently he can't wait till this investigation is over because it's going to show that they didn't do anything. So I think, you know, from the players, and there's a little bit of confidence that this thing isn't going to uncover much. But, yeah, you're going to be nervous about it until you see that report come out. It still hasn't come out. I'm hearing maybe it comes out next week. And it's also interesting to see what penalty Alex Cora is going to face, even though he's no longer the manager, how long his suspension from baseball is going to last.
Ian, I don't know how closely you've looked at the Padres prospects minor league list, but in terms of the Red Sox, what are they looking for? Where are they weak in their minor leagues? What might they be hoping to add in terms of prospect capital if they did pull off a Mookie Betts trade.
Yeah, the Red Sox farm system is just not very good in general right now, so they're looking for pretty much any premier prospect. Pitching, a pitcher would be great. You know, an outfielder. They're not that picky. They just need, you know, the one place they're set is third base and shortstop. They have Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts for a long, long time. But other than that, you know, they're going to look long and hard at top prospects, and that's what they need in this franchise right now. Is they need to rebuild that farm system.
Ian, we really appreciate it. It's good insight because you kind of, when you talk about these stories, you get caught up in your own team's perspective. It's good to kind of hear what the other side is saying and going through. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
Great to be on with you guys.
Thanks, man. Ian Brown, MLB.com on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U. Or visit sdccu.com. I do think this is worth mentioning, Woods. I mean, this is an official tweet from baseballradio.com insider Bob Nightingale saying the Astros have decided on Dusty Baker to be their next manager. Now, it doesn't mean he signed the contract or the deal is done, but at least internally, the Astros are going to go with Dusty Baker, it looks like, as their next skipper to replace A.J. Hinch.
It's weird. It says, the Astros have decided on Dusty Baker to be their next manager, a perfect choice. And then, when you click on the article, it says, opinion, Dusty Baker, the right choice to be named manager. Is it happening?
I think he wrote that beforehand, and then they updated it that he is about to be chosen as their next manager.
Baker's
so he wrote an opinion piece about 2 hours ago, posted it, got new information that he is going to be the guy, so they're updating it. But I think that's the opinion piece was predating the actual news that Dusty Baker would be the guy. So just kind of a coinciding, well-timed column by Bob Nightingale as the Astros make their decision.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he's got experience with this. They're talking about it in this article. He withstood the heavy scrutiny during the 80s when a lot of his friends were implicated in the Pittsburgh drug trials. He endured the public embarrassment of the IRS coming after him for $4 million in back taxes. He insulated Barry Bonds from the media circus in 2001. He's seen some S, Ben, in the big leagues. He survived prostate cancer and a regular heartbeat and a stroke. Dusty Baker, by all accounts, a pretty fantastic manager, has never really been able to get over the hump and win the big one, but I think it's a good fit. I mean, I think it's a good fit. It's going to be a tough year for the Astros. Everybody knows it's going to be brutal everywhere they play.
I'll tell you what, this is a pick that is going to be very well received by Rob Manfred and the Major League Baseball offices. Basically, the PR arm of the sport is going to say, well done, Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Good choice. This is going to reflect well. People will start building trust back in your organization knowing Dusty Baker is at the helm. I don't necessarily know he's the best, you know, managerial fit.
Right.
If he's the right, you know, if he's going to be the most dynamic guy who's going to get the most out of that Houston Astros roster. But in terms of the PR campaign of trying to rehabilitate the image of the Houston Astros, it's about as good as you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, it's pretty spotless reputation as a manager, veteran guy, experienced, has weathered some, you know, other storms with players. So going to be a pretty steady hand for that team. I can understand why they decide. I think it's a safe choice by the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's not a risk at all.
No. And honestly, aren't you looking for a safe choice
that's
at this point?
That's precisely what you need.
I mean, you're not going with an edgy guy
No.
who might say the wrong thing. You're not going to go with a really young guy who's completely unproven and inexperienced. You need a known name. You need a guy that can be trusted, that veterans on your team are going to come in and, you know, should have some respect for based on his reputation, his accomplishments as a manager. Not going to walk in there and, you know, the team's not going to go, who the heck is this guy? Who the fudge is Dusty Baker? They're not going to say that because they know Dusty Baker. So, it's a safe choice for the Houston Astros.
I think so, too. I think it's a good move. Hey, they did something right.
Yeah.
About time.
Now, does that mean that they're back to being World Series contenders? They've got a good roster, but I can't imagine there won't be a down year from the Astros considering all the fallout.
I really cannot either, man. I really can't see them ripping off, you know, 100-plus wins and getting back to the World Series. But again, we talked about the narrative that we're going to be beaten over the head with by them and by their fans is we rally together. You know, we're going to, you know, yeah, we did, something happened, but we didn't, you know. They're not going to fully admit to it because they're still not fully admitting to it, Ben. They're not apologizing for it. They're going to find that they're going to portray themselves as the plucky little underdogs.
All right, we pushed it back from our second hour since we were bringing that Jelani McCoy interview, but it is time to play a little Real or Fake. So if you want to play, call now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We got a contest for some concert tickets on the line if you want to play head-to-head against Woods in our game. Speaking of contests, also it is time for our biggest fan to call in. If you hear your name, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back. And if you do so, we will win 4 tickets to SeaWorld from 97.3 The Fan. It's their Lunar New Year, and you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing for our getaway to Las Vegas. Las Vegas road trip to see Aerosmith and their new residency show at the Park MGM Grand. 833-288-0973. And I just noticed that my name is blank here, Paul. So you're going to have to scramble, come up with it, and let me know right now. Right now, who the biggest fan is.
Dixie.
Or maybe in a second. No, stop. Don't do that again to me.
Okay. Yeah, don't do that.
All right. While Paul's looking up the name.
Buster Olney.
I will mention that San Diego State remained number 4 in the country in the new Associated Press basketball poll that came out right after the show yesterday. Not a surprise. 1, 2, and 3. None of them lost last week. So San Diego State at 21-0. Holding steady at number 4 in the country. They will be back in action tomorrow night at New Mexico. Kind of an interesting game. New Mexico is a team kind of on the downswing right now. They have guys injured and suspended, and they've gotten blown out in like 3 of their last 4 games. But they haven't lost at home all season long. They're 13-0 at the Pit, which is always one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. So just for that, you know, it's a bit of a dangerous game for the Aztecs. Ah, here we go. Thank you, Paul. Michael McCaire, M-A-C-A-I-R-E. Michael, you are the biggest fan, so you've got 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Good work, Paul, and good luck from 97.3 The Fan. All right, now let's get to our game. Let's play a little Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
You're like one of those clowns that's like juggling 8 balls at once and they're all falling all over the place.
You juggle balls pretty well.
Usually I do.
You do.
And I found out in the middle of that read that I didn't have my name. I go, who's the name? Oh, wait. It's blank. So, okay, this is going to be a problem.
That's an oversight.
This is going to be a problem
from our
5-tool
producer right there.
All right. We got Michael in Lemon Grove. Michael, welcome to our game today. Say hi to Woods.
Hey, guys. Hey, Woods.
Hey, buddy.
Shake hands. Here's what you're going for. We've got concert tickets, a pair of tickets to see Nickelback with Stone Temple Pilots and Switchfoot at the North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on September 29th. For ticket info and sales, go to livenation.com. Michael, you know how to play our game?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, 5 rounds head-to-head. All you need to do is tie or beat Woods. And I did not watch, speaking of music, I did not watch a minute of the Grammys on Sunday night.
Samesies.
But I guess they actually happened. Today on Real or Fake, I will give you a singer or band name. You have to tell me if they were a real Grammy winner or a fake that I've made up.
All right.
Here from Sunday's Grammy Awards. Woodsy, ready?
Yes.
Round 1. Lizzo, real or fake Grammy winner?
Well, I know she was nominated. I don't think she won. I'm going to say fake.
No, she won.
Oh, she did.
She did. Pop solo performance.
All right.
Lizzo. Okay, no points there for Woods. Michael, have a chance to take an early lead. Let's try Cage the Elephant, Michael. Real or fake Grammy winner?
Yeah, I think they won a rock album or something like that.
They did. Very good. Rock solo album. Michael knows his music. Woods, you could be in trouble here. Let's go, Woods, round 3. Underground Chicory. Real or fake?
Sounds so fake. It's got to be real. Real.
Damn it, you son of a... Two words I put together randomly.
I could be a country band. Underground
You're
Chicory.
You're not, though. They're just two words. Michael, round 2. Vampire Weekend, Michael, real or fake Grammy winner?
Fake.
No, they were the alternative album of the year winner. All right, it's still 1-0, Michael, as we go to round 3 of our Grammy Award Real or fake? Woodsy, let's try the Chemical Brothers. Real or fake?
Real.
Yeah, dance recording winner. All right, this point for Woods, you're on the board. Let's go, Michael, round three for you. Aaliyah Delmonico, real or fake, Grammy Award winner?
Fake.
Yeah, totally made that up. I have no idea who Aaliyah Delmonico may or may not
Pretty
be.
Pretty good.
Good name.
Thank you. Round four, we are 2-1, Michael in the lead. Let's go to round four, Woodsy. The Termites, real or fake, Grammy Award winner?
Fake.
Clown.
Michael, your turn, round four. Dan and Shay, real or fake Grammy Award winner?
Well, another country artist. I'm going to say real.
Yeah, country duo performance. Dan and Shay, point for Michael. All right, last round here, Woods. Michael Cleveland, real or fake Grammy Award winner?
And fake.
Bluegrass Album of the Year. Winner, God. Michael Cleveland. No, that was a wrong.
Yeah. Right,
it was real.
Oh, it was real.
It was very real.
I said fake.
I know, and you were wrong. That's why it was should have been a buzzer.
Got it.
And then finally, Michael.
Paul.
Round five, real or fake Grammy Award winners. Ranky Tanky, Michael, real or fake?
That's got to be fake.
You think so, but it's real. They're the regional music album of the award winner. That's okay, Michael. You win 3-2 over Woods in our game of Grammy Award Real or Fake, and you're going to be going to see STP, Stone Temple Pilots, Nickelback, Switchfoot later this year. Congratulations, and thanks for playing a little Real or Fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We're going to go back and check out this Padres Mookie Betts trade rumor from the other side perspective. The Boston Red Sox, their beat writer, Ian Brown from MLB.
Oh, yes!
That's all, folks.
Little Looney Tunes this morning.
Oh, my God.
Getting a little Looney Tunes. Ian Brown from MLB.
Holy crap!
Ian Brown from MLB. Maybe my worst flub ever.
A little bit of an either.
That is fantastic.
That was worse than Uncle Teddy. Actually. Ian Brown from MLD.
Yes! That is unreal.
That's all, folks.
Ian Brown from MLD. My apologies to Porky Pig for stealing his bit. There.
Jeez.
Should I do it again?
Yeah.
Ian Brown from MLD.
Yes!
So one thing we haven't really talked much about yet this week, which is odd considering what week it is.
The Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl.
Barely remembered it was happening.
It is coming up on Sunday in Miami. The San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, they had the big opening night, the media night where you get all the weird media members in the costumes. Did you see the one guy who dressed up as Andy Reid, pass, punt, and kick kid?
Yeah, he's from Dallas. I know him.
You know him?
Yes.
It was an amazing costume.
Incredible.
I never understood the concept of a media member dressing up in a costume to cover like an actual sporting event.
Until now.
This is what happens at Super Bowl media night.
Yeah, that's Dan McDowell from The Ticket.
You know that
Dallas.
Guy.
I know him, yeah.
That was an unbelievably accurate costume.
Unbelievable.
Which was pretty amazing. But so we will actually talk some Super Bowl coming up next in our final hour. Ian Williams, former San Francisco 49er, now 49ers insider for 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, is going to join us as we get ready for the 49ers and the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. Later on, we'll have more Kobe remembrances. We have just more touching tributes to the fallen Lakers star. That is coming up. 1 hour to go. It's Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.